Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. I have less than 30 seconds to announce a special program today. You're going to hear an interview with David Platt on his new book, Something Needs to Change, A Call to Make Your Life Count in a World of Urgent Need. Stay with me for the next 26 minutes, and at the end of the program, there'll be a call-in for a few books. Here's the radio special.
I look in the faces of people in these mountains, whether they're little children or elderly men and women, and they've never heard the name of Jesus.
If the gospel is true and God really is good, then where is God amid poverty and pain?
An individual will come to know Jesus, and then they'll be totally ostracized in their village or forced out of the village, not able to get water or just have some of the basic things you need for life. And then, worst of all, just stories of people coming to know Jesus and then being killed.
Where are the peace and protection of God for the oppressed and exploited in the world?
People brought together by the gospel, risking their lives to share God's love with the people around them. That is the church as God's designed it to be.
Is hell really a place? And if so, why are so many people born into what seems like an earthly hell, only to move to an eternal one? How can that be fair?
I threw my pack down and just fell on the floor, just weeping, like uncontrollable weeping, like crying out, God, why?
Life's hardest questions don't just demand answers, they require action. Welcome to Something Needs to Change, a call to make your life count in a world of urgent need. A conversation with the pastor of McLean Bible Church in Washington, D.C., and New York Times best-selling author, David Platt. Here's our host for this special program, Don Crow.
Hi, I'm Don Crow. For the next half hour or so, I would like to invite you to join me in a conversation with a servant of the Lord Jesus whose recent travels have shown him some things that I think we all need to hear and learn from. Dr. David Platt is currently serving as the pastor-teacher at McLean Bible Church here in the Washington, D.C. area. He's the author of several books, as many of you already know, including Radical, Radicals Together, Follow Me, and Counterculture. And while any one of those previous books is well worth your attention, the one that he and I are going to talk about right now is something that he wrote recently, really based on an amazing trip. It's called Something Needs to Change, A Call to Make Your Life Count in a World of Urgent Need. In fact, it's described by one review as a heart-wrenching, soul-searching journey through impoverished villages in the Himalayan mountains. And it left him stunned by the human needs he encountered. The experience described as so dramatic that he himself said afterward, it changed the trajectory of my life. Now, that book's available at his website, radical.net. And David, thanks for joining me for a few minutes to talk more about this incredible journey you've just been on.
It's great to be here, Don. Thanks for having me.
Now, your previous books have always challenged us as followers of Christ. Certainly this one does the same thing, but in a different way. What made you step away from kind of being the preacher and really taking us as readers on a trek, even journaling your trips through the Himalayas? We actually get to read your journals. We get to meet some of the people you met. Especially, I think we get to really hear you share your feelings of what God's saying to you during that trip. So maybe start there. How was this journey different from any other you've taken?
Well, I try to go overseas three or four times a year as a pastor in some different contexts. But on this particular trip, the first one I went on in these remote villages in the Himalayas, the way I would describe it is more than just about anywhere else I've been in the world. It's a collision of urgent spiritual and urgent physical need. They did some research in these mountains years ago, and they found that half the children were dying before their eighth birthday. So I have four kids. My greatest fear is something happening to one of them. And so physical needs from poverty, starvation, lack of access to clean water or medicine, and then just to see the way that traffickers prey on the poverty in these villages and the effects of that on young girls. So urgent physical need on top of urgent spiritual need. So most people in these mountains have little to no knowledge of Jesus. I'm talking, you meet people on the trail and you say, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know about Jesus? And they say, who's that? Almost like you're speaking about somebody in a nearby village who they haven't met yet. And so no knowledge of God's love in Jesus. And so you put those two together. I would love to take multitudes of people in those mountains. Obviously, that's not possible. So this Something Needs to Change book is my effort to bring those trails face to face with readers for us to wrestle through. So that's what I try to do. And in a way that's different from anything I've written before, come out from behind the podium where I preach. And yes, like you said, open up my journals on those mountains and share honestly with readers wrestling I have in my own heart about things I preach and truths I believe. And so the subtitle of the book is A Call to Make Your Life Count in a World of Urgent Need. And that's what I want to invite readers to do, to really think through how our lives can count for the spread of God's grace and love in a world of urgent need around us.
David, what we want to play for our listeners now is an excerpt of actual audio recordings you made on your trek through the Himalayas. Like an audio journal, you help us experience what you went through as you came across these villages and met and talked to the people there. It's quite moving. Let's listen. Here's the first audio journal from David Platt.
Spiritual warfare. Here is the evidence. An individual will come to know Jesus and then they'll be totally ostracized in their village because they're introducing, in the eyes of others, a false god. They'll be ostracized, maybe even kicked out of the village or forced out of the village, like not able to get water from the water source in that village or just have some of the basic things that you need for life. And then probably the worst of all, just stories of people coming to know Jesus and then being killed. Not by the government, by fellow villagers or even religious leaders in these mountains. So, I guess, in the end, mark it down. Like, there, the gospel will not spread in these mountains without major spiritual warfare and people who are willing to endure that battle. Spiritual battle for the spread of the gospel here. Like the devil, the false G God in this world will not go down without a fight. But be sure of this, like he will go down.
I'm talking with Pastor David Platt. We're talking about his latest book, Something Needs to Change, A Call to Make Your Life Count in a World of Urgent Need. And you can order your copy and learn more about David's work and ministry and his other books at this website, radical.net, www.radical.net. As we've been talking, David, I've been reminded that God gives us gifts as human beings and also especially as his people, as his church. And he expects us to do something with those. In other words, he is going to hold us accountable for what we did or did not do in terms of the call that's upon us all. And in fact, you share that after just a week of climbing all through the mountain villages, eating with folks, sitting in their homes, hearing their stories, you found yourself so deeply moved that you were on your knees weeping. Tell us about that and why that moved you so much.
Well, it's one thing to think about questions like this, about the goodness of God in a world of suffering. It's one thing to think about those from the comfort of our own homes and the comfort of our own churches, even. I think about my first trip over into these mountains on the plane ride over there. I actually wrote a whole sermon on poverty and suffering, and I was preaching from a text in Scripture that speaks directly to that. And I wrote this whole sermon, complete with statistics about poverty in the world and the truths of God's Word. And I did all of that with a frighteningly cold-hearted perspective, not in a way that is just totally cold and hard toward those who are in need, but, I mean, very little emotion. But everything changed when I was in these mountains and I saw face to face This dad who's lost two of his children and his wife as a result of a lack of clean water in his village. When I look into the face of a 12-year-old girl who has been trafficked for sex by men who are using and abusing her, when I look at a funeral pyre with a body burning on it of somebody who's never even heard the name of Jesus. So all these images just came to a head the first time I came out of those trails, and I've found my face on the floor just weeping, not just kind of tears, but just uncontrollably weeping in light of individuals. So these aren't just statistics. These are men and women and children. They have names. And once they have names and once they have faces, it's a lot harder to stick your head in the sand and just kind of move on with life as business as usual. Now that you know people who are walking through urgent need like that, your heart, your mind, your life is compelled to be different. And so that's part of the aim in this book, is to take realities in this world that I think we know generally in our mind and try to let them affect our hearts in a way that affects change in our lives.
I remember the first time I came down out of these mountains. We caught a bus back into the city, grabbed our packs. We were walking down a street just like this with shops and restaurants. But then I noticed this one type of restaurant, they call it a cabin restaurant, where I'd heard about how traffickers bring girls to work in these places, and a man will come in, take a girl, go sit in a booth, share a meal with her, and then do whatever he wants with her. And when I realized what I was looking at, I saw on the steps a couple of girls, and my eyes locked with one of them, and she smiled at me, and she motioned for me to come over to her. And in this tense twist of emotions, I wanted to run away and be a part of rescuing her at the same time. I looked away. I felt sick that she even thought I wanted to come over to her. And I kept walking, and I saw another one and another one. And I just wanted to get out of the scene, like pretend that this wasn't real. Stick my head in the sand. I couldn't get back to my room that night fast enough. And as soon as I got back, I threw my pack down and just fell on the floor, just weeping, like uncontrollable weeping, like crying out, God, why? And I just couldn't stop crying.
As I understand also from what I've read of your book, you really did have something that we pastors don't imagine will happen after a while. You had your theology, your basic theology about God and his love and so forth, challenged in new ways. I was thinking as we were talking right now about C.S. Lewis, who really at the end of it all, in his little book, A Grief Observed, just had his theology totally shaken to the very core. And you experienced some of that on this trip, didn't you?
Absolutely. In a way that I hope is right and good, not in a way, there's obviously a prideful way that we can start to ask questions as if we are wiser than God or we know better than God. So there's a humble way to ask questions, but to ask those questions honestly before God, like, I don't understand this. Like, I think about, and one of the things I wrestle with in the book is the doctrine of hell, what the Bible teaches about hell. Because it's one thing to say that in a sermon on a nice, comfortable stage behind a podium in a church setting. It's a whole other thing to wrestle through that when you're looking at, like I mentioned earlier, like this body burning on a funeral pyre, somebody who died 24 hours ago and now their body's ablaze, and you know they never even heard the gospel, much less believed in it.
The book is called Something Needs to Change, a call to make your life count in a world of urgent need. It will move you in that direction, as David and I have just been talking, folks, not just theoretically, but in your heart, in your emotions. You will begin to be pulled into the reality of much of the world. And you can get a copy of the book at your usual sources, but especially at radical.net. That is the ministry site for David and those who work with him in these matters, www.radical.net.
the first church I ever encountered in these mountains, all ages, crammed into this little house church. I mean, a one-room house, one little light bulb hanging there, and just to worship with them, hear stories from them about the cost of following Christ. I mean, there is an adversary, the devil, who does not want the name of Jesus to be worshipped and is substituting the worship of Jesus with all kinds of false worship. And when the good news of the one true God comes into a village, it will not be easy. But to see the joy in these believers' faces as they're talking about how can we share the gospel, and I just thought, this is it. This is the answer to urgent spiritual and physical need. The church. Men and women who have been saved from sin, restored to relationship with the one true God, now have His love in their hearts. To hear them talking about how they're not just caring for each other, but looking for opportunities to care for others in the community, like that's what is needed. The church. The church is God meant it to be. Not the church like we often think. When we think of church, we often think buildings, programs, this or that. Like, that's not the picture of church up here on a mountain like that. It's people brought together by the gospel, risking their lives to share God's love with the people around them. That is the church as God's designed it to be. A people fearlessly holding on to the word of God and then sacrificially giving their lives, spreading the love of God. So I just prayed, walking away from that church gathering, may God multiply His church all over these mountains, all over the world.
David, you talk about a young lady named Maya, and you ask a question out of her circumstance. Would I be willing to do this? If I were in Maya's shoes, would I come up here alone, sacrificing all sorts of comforts and opportunities to advance a career in order to serve people in this distant, remote village? What is her story, and why did it challenge you so?
So Maya is one of many pictures of people I describe in the book who have gifts and skills. Maya specifically had done training in nursing, and she could go anywhere she wanted to. She was born in this particular country where I was, and she had so many different opportunities to do all kinds of things with her nursing education and certification degree. Instead, she chose, out of all these options, to move up into a remote village where she's serving practically alone in a little health outpost, trying to make medical care available for the villages surrounding this health outpost, and in the process of doing that, to share the gospel. And she does it with such joy and humility. And God's not calling every single person to do exactly what Maya did, but He calls us to move toward need, all of us, away from comfort for the spread of God's love amidst need. So what is this going to look like then in my life?
And on that point, David, you very honestly admit the tremendous wrestling you had during this experience and probably even coming home as to whether God was really asking you to make a radical change beyond anything you'd done in your ministry so far, with yourself and your family, and actually move from this lap of luxury, so to speak, in America to a ministry there. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. You can't help but to wrestle. If you're being honest before God and you're seeing such need, you must at least ask the question, God, are you calling me to be here? And so that was the wrestling that just heightened with each day on this journey. And so I came back home and began wrestling through that, asking the Lord, praying, fasting before God, with my wife, with my family, with my church that I was pastoring at that time. And I share in the book how God didn't end up leading me overseas, although I would just say that's a pretty constant wrestling. But it's that picture of surrender that I want to mark my life, and I think should mark the life of every follower of Christ, that we are willing to go and ready to do whatever He calls us to do, wherever He calls us to do it.
Now, you may have just answered my next question, but you wrote that you knew there was a danger of going back home from the trip and not slipping back into complacency and business as usual, so to speak, and just stay living in the urgency that you'd face there in the mountain. How has that been since you came back from that trip? What have you done to offset that, and what would you suggest for a lot of Americans, perhaps, and others reading the book who have to fight the same battle of just settling into complacency and comfort?
I think the way you just worded that question is really key in recognizing that it is a battle to be fought. If we're not careful, and this is one of the things I share in the book, like, I would love to just, in one sense, stick my head in the sand and pretend like these realities, these needs are not real, and just kind of go on with my life, a nice, comfortable Christian life, business as usual. But that's not an option for us. There is a battle to be fought, a spiritual battle to be fought, and there is so much work to be done. So how do we guard against that kind of complacency, that kind of coasting? I think starting right where we live, we make sure we are living for the spread of God's love amidst urgent spiritual and physical need, because there's 2+ billion people who have little to no knowledge of Jesus right now in the world. They don't have any Christians around them that even know how to share the good news of God's grace in Jesus with them. So how can we work to get the gospel to them, whether that's going short term, whether that's supporting those who are going long term or going long term ourselves? There's all kinds of different ways to think through that. And so how can we be intentional in our lives, our families, and our churches about going to them? If we're not intentional in all these ways, then we will inevitably find ourselves coasting.
In my Bible reading plan, I just so happened to be today in Psalm 22. How from the psalmist's mother's womb, he has known the Lord. And I was just thinking about my parents who, by God's grace, taught me about the Lord ever since the beginning. There's not been a time in my life where I've not known about the Lord. And I had nothing to do with where I was born. So why have I known about the Lord from the time I was born? And then people here, I look in the faces of people in these mountains, whether they're little children or elderly men and women, they've never heard the name of Jesus. For the sake of those elderly men and women, this needs to change now. And for the sake of these children, like, that they might know the Lord, that they might know Him, know His love and His mercy and His grace. So all throughout Psalm 22, it's just pleading, God, show Your grace, show Your mercy. And then you get to the end, and it says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before You, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. Like, He will do it. And just pray and use my life and use Your church, Lord. Cause Your church in all kinds of different places to rise up and go to the ends of the earth. Let's not stop until the ends of the earth remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations worship and serve before Him.
I'm talking with Pastor David Platt. We're talking about his latest book, Something Needs to Change, a call to make your life count in a world of urgent need. And you can order your copy and learn more about David's work and ministry and his other books at this website, radical.net, www.radical.net. Last question, David. How has visiting the Himalayas changed your own life, and what's your hope and prayers to how it might change ours who read it?
I would say that going back to my first trip into the Himalayas, and I share about this at the beginning of this book, there is a sensitivity, an affection in my heart when it comes to those in need that I think I had missed. Even in all the things I've written and preached, like these truths I preach and believe, I had in some way sheltered from really penetrating my heart in a way that leads to urgency in my life. I think that's one of the big words that I'd take away from time in those trails, urgency to live today for the spread of God's grace and hope and love in a world of urgent need. Like, people in the Himalayas don't need me processing for the next however many years, how I can maybe help at some point in some way. Like, there's more bodies being put on funeral pyres today. There's more girls being trafficked today. There's more people dying without access to clean water. Like, there's an urgency there that obviously I can't shoulder alone. I'm not intended to shoulder alone. Only God can shoulder that. But He has called me and my family and the church I lead and us as His body to live with urgency for the spread of His grace in the world. Like, we don't have a lot of time. We're here for a mist. I want to make the few years I have left count most for the spread of His grace and His glory. And I trust in the process, my joy in a world of urgent need.
David, I know it's been far too short a visit, but I do hope we've provoked a strong interest in our listeners to get the book and share it with some others as well. And folks, I've been talking with David Platt, teaching pastor at McLean Bible Church in Washington, D.C. area. We've been talking about his latest book. It's a life-changing book, I might add, and it's called Something Needs to Change. You will be changed as you read this book with an open heart, I have no doubt. You can get a copy at the website radical.net. David, thanks again, my friend. Thanks for joining us. May the Lord's blessing and grace be with you.
Thanks.
What you've been listening to is a conversation with Don Crow and Pastor David Platt, New York Times best-selling author of the new book, Something Needs to Change, A Call to Make Your Life Count in a World of Urgent Need, published by Multnomah. The website is radical.net/something-needs-to-change. That's radical.net/something-needs-to-change. Thanks for listening.
Wow, a lot to think about, a lot of good conviction. I hope you'll take action on the points that maybe God put on your heart. Right now, the first two callers during the morning broadcast and when this re-airs in the evening will receive the book, Something Needs to Change. Call now, 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.